that was punching in the
The other challenge is that of the budget was centrally controlled within the DTI and the infrastructure funds within the DTI, which was possible in certain instances because, for example, in the incentive scheme, they were able to transfer funds within different line items to assist, you know, whatever program was short of funding, which things became different, you know, when we moved out of the DTI. Becoming a new department, we are unable to do those things. We only have our budget from the beginning of this new financial year. And then other things within the DTI were centrally located, issues around research, procurement were centrally located within the Department of Trade and Industry, which became difficult for us to access when we moved out because they were prioritizing their own functions that were remaining with the DTI. And also, like the point to note that the transition process has affected delivery in certain instances because we are dealing with a number of issues, including even the culture and other things that we are trying to adapt to the new ways of working. We can also consider that we say 60% of the targets were met. We know this is not enough. We know that the future will change in this new financial year. Going to one of the programs that is being implemented through FIDA, which is the technology program, FCT, the performance measure or performance indicator is number of jobs created through FCT. The annual target is 1,650. In quarter three, the milestone was 412, but the actual output was 749, which was caused by the fact that there was better performance in the economy, the sector, particularly construction, manufacturing, and agricultural sector. So we were able to exceed the target that was put there. And the second performance indicator is number of established incubators supported through FCT. Because the incubators, you cannot support it once and then withdraw. So there are 48, target of 48, which includes 6. So the target for creating new incubators was 6, but in the third quarter, we're supposed to support 2 new incubators, which we're able to achieve. Then on the next page is the number of clients assisted through TTP, which is Technology Transfer Program. The annual target was 63, the quarter 3 target was 15. But we were only able to achieve 10. Some of the challenges that we had I think it helps us to understand that we need to improve in terms of providing big business support to some of our clients because they would submit incomplete information and extend information there, asking them to come up with additional information to assist us to reach a decision in terms of whether we support or not supporting that program. So that affected our performance in the third quarter. That's why we are only having 10 clients that are assisted in the third quarter. Then on the next slide, the output is the implementation of the Cooperative Act as amended. And the performance indicator was implementation of the report produced. Implementation report produced on the state in operation of the Cooperative Development Agency and Cooperative Tribunal. Then the quarter three package was for us to have a 2014 business plan for the 2014-15 financial year and for the CDA and Tribunal to be set up. On this one, the target was not met because there were some delayed in the signing of the amendment, which resulted in no budget allocation because we need to produce the act before we can access funding from national treasury, which we have decided that we need to postpone this implementation to the next financial year, which is this current financial year, 2015-2016. And the corrective action is that as soon as the act is signed, we will go to National Treasury and get funding some expense adjustment estimate. Then on the next one, which is the documents made, is the need for approval, the draft national strategic framework on gender and women economic empowerment. Here, I think we need to explain that the work was done and it's submitted to the cluster, the framework, where we also motivating for the establishment of an agency to deal with women, gender and women economic empowerment. But the cluster sent us back and we asked to go and do research. We will inform we will assist us with the business case for this work. We came back to the department. We did our own internal research, but we were not able to go into details in terms of what these guys from cluster were looking for. So that's why we are saying target touch limits, because we were able to do our own, but it was not sufficient enough for us to submit the cluster, which is something that we still need to do. But it also gives us an opportunity to look at having a proper agency that will be aligned to the new department, that will also be aligned, I think, the inputs that we're giving when we are presenting SAWEN in the past few weeks. So we have to go back to the department and produce this report so that, because we cannot do anything without the cluster, they have to be satisfied that this is something that they can support. Then on the next one is the output is the finalization and implementation of the National Informal Business Assessment Strategy. Performance measure indicator report produced on the pilot implementation of the NIBAS business strategy. The annual target is pilot implementation of the strategy and a report produced. For the three target is based in implementation of the action plan. The actual achievements, benchmarking lessons from Taylor then have been captured and packaged for piloting and rolling out of the strategy in Eastern Cape and Gauteng. ITAP workshops for selection of pilot participants have been completed in consultation with provincial and municipal partners. This is the project where we are also prioritizing the presidential notes, and we are working with the food sale and retail sector on this ITAP project. Increased interactions with provincial and municipal officials on specific state projects, which is strategic economic infrastructure facility, shared economic infrastructure facility in the targeted pilot areas. Apologies. As well, business plans and proposals being developed around guidelines. Here, it's very important for us to do projects that are not just the department's projects. They are more about, you know, forming partnerships, cementing these partnerships, because we don't want to be sitting in Pretoria and being responsible for an infrastructure that is sitting in a municipal area. We want to make sure that we build these partnerships so that we can work together with the communities, municipalities, because they will be benefiting from having these businesses that are operating in this infrastructure. And the next one is the Youth Enterprise Development Strategy. Output is finalization and implementation of Youth Enterprise Development Strategy. And then the performance indicator is implementation report on youth enterprise development strategy produced. The annual target was pilot implementation of the strategy and report produced. Then the quarterly target was to present the mass youth enterprise creation program pilot to the executive board and the minister of the DTI, or the pilot to the executive board and the minister of the DTI for approval, which is the target that was developed at the beginning of the last financial year. Then the actual achievement, the program was matriculated together with the youth directory, and we were unable to do presentation of the program to the executive board, because that's the board where all the DDGs and the DGCs, which we don't have currently. So we are able to do that because we are targeted at the DTI at the time. Then we had to shift it because of the movement and the transfer of the program to the department. which was not presented during the third quarter. But and then the reasons for variance included, you know, the team was transferred, EXO was not able to approve us because the function was moving and it now resides with us within TSCD. And then the third issue I was talking about, that we don't have an executive board yet, which is the, like the final structure that approves programs for implementation. And then the corrective action was to present this during the fourth quarter to the GSDF, which is the structure that consists of senior makers, sister and sister makers, and then submit this program to the minister of the Department of Small Business Development for approval. But it also gave us an opportunity as well to adapt it to the mandate of the new Department of Small Business Development, and it also gave us a bigger opportunity to interact and integrate this program to the national youth policy, which is being driven by the president. So we are hopeful, you know, because this program is from page 84 of the national youth policy, so it's very much integrated with the work that the government is doing on youth development. And the other one is integrated SME and cooperative development framework. This is the framework that is assisting us to coordinate the work between the department and all nine provincial departments of economic development. EDD at national level also sits in this structure. So it assists us to align the work that we are doing, share experiences, and even help each other in improving the way we are working. So the output is integrated, implemented integrated cooperative framework and action plan, which is something that we do quarterly. The document indicator is integrated SMEs and cooperative development framework and action plan. The annual target is the implementation and the production of the report. The quarterly output is the implemented integrated SMEs and cooperative development framework and action plan and what the report produced. The actual output, the ministers and MECs, which is MINMET task team meeting held on the 3rd of December, because within the third quarter, to align national ATPs of the economic cluster with provincial departments of economic development. The further report was produced on the integrated SMEs and cooperative development framework and action plan. Here the output is we are satisfied with the way for corrections, because it gives us an opportunity to really share. And in the last financial year, we were able to share the strategic plan that was presented to the portfolio committee with the provinces, because we wanted them to identify certain activities that can contribute in ensuring that we are all moving in the same direction with the departments, all the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Actual amount that has been sent in implementing quota performance.
Chair, the actual amount, we did not break it down per quarter. We have it at the end of the presentation, which covers the second and third quarter.
Chair, if I look at agenda, actually we're going to discuss first quarter 3 program and then quarter 4 program. I was thinking maybe we must just go through quarter 4 program as well, because most probably some of the things that didn't realize in quarter 3 will realize in quarter 4, and then we just have a more of a holistic view of what happened last year in this department.
Thank you. If we are going to go to the next quarter meeting together, then I will discuss that much as well. When we finish.
να ρωτήσω. Thus, can you then take the fourth quarter report?
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. On the first one, which is the implementation of Co-Fisis Act as amended, it's the same issue which is around the amendment of the Act, which was not realized. It's just the 2014-2015 financial year. And we don't have a budget for this because the Act was not presented to the administrator. The same corrective action that we thought we'll do as soon as we have the Act will go to National Treasury because it empowers us to go to them and ask them to give us funding for the CDA in particular and to bring us, because you know how important institutions are for corrective development. And then on the second one is the gender and women economic empowerment framework. It's the same issue of us not being able to do the research which was going to enable us to go to CLAPTA and present the revised business case plan which was going to assist us to set up an agency that was going to deal with the women empowerment issues. But we also thought it would be proper to also look at having, especially maybe with the strategy, that will assist us in terms of arriving into other issues and also getting support from fellow departments within the economic cluster. So it's something that has been considered that maybe for this new financial year, we'll be doing that, starting with the strategy and then going, you know, all the way, because the strategy should make recommendations in terms of the approach that needs to be adopted and in the program that needs to be implemented. Then on the next one is the implementation of the National Informal Business Agreement Strategy. The annual targets for the pilot implementation of the NIBAS and the report produced, the fourth quarter is phased in implementation of the action plan and report produced. So the preliminary report was produced and tabled at the project steering committee, which consists of us as the DSPT, retail and retail teacher, because they are co-funders in this program. So we are comfortable with that, fact that the implementation of this program is progressing, because we have even some pilot sites that are implementing this program in. Then on the next one, the Market Enterprise Creation Program, the quarterly target, which is the fourth quarterly target, was to enter into agreement with National Food Youth Service Corps for rolling out the pilot of the MYECT, because we thought it was proper for us to coordinate this intervention and look at the interventions that have been produced by other government departments. So that's why we were targeting having an MOU with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform on the NISREC program. Because of the issue that came up in the third quarter, we couldn't enter into this MOU, but we were able to present this work to the DSPD ExCo for approval, which was done on the 19th of February. And then the submission was made to the Minister for her approval, so that we can start the implementation of the program. This was going to assist us as well to get input from other colleagues within the department, because we have to make sure that we have a buy-in from all units within the department before we can implement the program. So the approval happened late, but it's done now. So we are implementing it in this new financial year. Then on the next one, the technology program. The target for the fourth quarter was 414, we're able to exceed that number by 51. It's the same reason because there are some better performance than expected in certain sectors. And then the second performance measure is number of adaptive incubators supported through FCP. The target for the fourth quarter was to support 4 new incubators. And then the actual output, the FCP has supported 48 adaptive incubators and 6 new incubators. So the target was achieved within the financial period. And then on the next one, number of clients assisted through the technology transfer program. The fourth quarter target was 16. And then the actual output was 18. And the reasons, some of them were that of the incomplete information, which delayed approval. But we're also looking at the issue of motivation for increasing the budget in this new financial year that will go to technology transfer program. Then the next one is the Center for Entrepreneurship, which is one of the programs that was transferred to the department very late. The performance indicator was the number of MOAs to establish centers for entrepreneurship. The annual target of 2 MOAs for approval to establish centers for entrepreneurship. Then the fourth quarterly target approved business plan and 2 draft MOAs. We were able to meet the target. The 2 additional centers for entrepreneurship established, and they were launched in March, one here in Western Cape, the other one in Mpumalanga. And then the next one is Integrated Economies and Cooperative Development Framework, which is a structure that is assisting us to coordinate work with provinces. Therefore, output or target was the implement integrated SMEs, cooperative development framework and action plan and quarter report produced. Again, we were able to have the session again with the provinces where they were requested to present the 3 most important projects so that they can be aligned, because in the previous quarter we presented our own, so they were able to present their projects which were going to contribute to our APP. Of both our department as well as EPD. A third report that should get effect was produced and action plan. And then we are compatible that this output is progressing well in terms of we are able to meet and align the program between us and 9 provinces. Then the other program that functionally was with the DTI until the 31st of March, the CRF and PPSGD. We were able to support 107 projects under the CIF with a budget of 65 million. And then PPSGD, we also had supported 783 projects under the PPSGD to the tune of 288 million. We're not happy with this slide, because it doesn't talk to the impact. We're not talking about jobs, you know, we're not talking about the sustainability of those businesses. But know that in our presentation as Department of Small Business Development, we have better targets and better indicators that are showing the impact as well. And then the last slide talks to our budget. The first item, the money that was allocated by National Treasury when the department was formed to assist us with the ministry, assist us with the capacity in terms of staff. And we know that we are unable to get the structure approved on time, so we are not able to spend that 9 million, which is the variant, because there was, it did not have structure. But for now, going forward, we have a structure which should assist us in terms of spending the allocation. So the money was specifically given to us to assist us with setting up the new department. And then other cooperatives, the budget was 10 million. We were able to spend 10.1 million and the parent is 108,000. And under creative industries, which is one of the units that we got from the ICT, Industrial Development Division of the DTI, they had 4 million. Expenditure was 3.5 and the parent is 509. And then on small enterprises, which is the enterprise development unit, budget was 12 million and we were only able to spend 11 million. The variant is still 651,000. This is for the economy, which is a unit that was split into two, and DTI stayed with a certain portion of this unit, and we were a certain part of the unit was migrated to the Department of Small Business Development. We had a budget of 9.7 million, and we spent 8.5, and the variant is 1.2. And then the gender unit, a budget of 12 million, and they spent 10 million, and the variant is 1.7 million. And then on youth development, 3.7 million. Expenditure was 2.7 and 1 million were not spent. Then on BDSDT, the budget was 12.5 and 12.7 was spent. We exceeded the budget there by 140,000. And then on the CIF, we had 82. We spent 8.6 and the over expenditure was 385,000 rand. So this is the total excluding the transfer payment. Then below we have the transfer payment. The DSDT is 288 million. We spent 288,336, so we're left with a very little amount, which is 6,000. CIS, we had 65 million, we spent 64.9 and 24 million that was not spent. And then under STT, which is the money that is utilized by CEDA, and we had 126 million, 358, and the estimate on that was 126. Because this also includes that TTP program, this technology transfer program, where we are saying we need to look at increasing the allocation because it's one of the programs that are in high demand. And then money that went to CEDA as an agency for operational costs is 102 million, and expenditure was 602. SAWEN, which also receives money through CEDA, 16 million. Was transferred to CEDA, and then there is no variance. So in total, the transfer payment is 998,012,000. We spend 998,272, and then we did not spend 40. Then the total budget was 1.1 billion. 1.12044, we're able to spend 1,105,000,000, and then we could have spent 15 million, but most of the money was that allocation that came from National Treasury, which we are able to spend because of not having an approved structure. Recommendations that the committee note the performance of the past 2 quarters. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I will now give an opportunity for questions and comments from members. Honorable November, followed by Honorable Kruger, Honorable Nashe, and that's all.
Honorable November,
thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. First of all, Chairperson, I want to start with the challenges by saying that I hope that all that is being said here will at least change, because we cannot by this time be supported that the report is back online to the DCI strategic plan. Everything is about DCI here. It's on challenge stage. But that is that. It's just by commenting. And on page.
Can you raise your voice a little bit? Can you raise your voice a little bit?
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. The second part is on page, what, implementation of Cooperative Act as amended. In the column that says target not met, what was the target in first place that were not met? For how much of it? In percentage wise. It's the same as the page that follows that one that says target partially met. If you could get the percentage of it, the partially part one. Chairperson, on the page, because there are no numbers, implementation of Cooperative Act has amended. The financial year started in April, it ended in 30th of March, started in April. At least we just need to have sense of, at least as we've started, we've moved away most now from DTI. Now we start our own department. Well, from the start, at least we need to have something very much new. That says small business. That's normal. So I just want to know, when will we start with our own? Because our own year has now begun. With no more babies. We're crawling now. I'm sure with no more crawling. We're trying to go up. So. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I can't comment on. It was just to make sure that we've moved from the CI, now we started our own thing. How far? Thank you, sir.
Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. If you look at the challenges, the point made was, I think the last bullet point, so 60% of the targets were met. But if you look at money spent, about 98% of the money was spent by the department. So this new thing doesn't make sense. I mean, if you don't meet your targets, then you can't spend the money. So I don't know what was the money spent on. So that's a concern. And then at the Cooperative Act, the fourth quarter, the implement of the quarter, if you just look at the page, there's a bit of a problem with after numbering. It stated the reason why it was not implemented is because of non-budgets and such things. I was thinking, why didn't they start working on the budget in the third quarter already? Because they knew there was no budget. And try to allocate money or transfer money in votes to implement that performance indicator. And also, we're talking about strategies. I don't know, and Madam Chair, you may help me, I don't know if you saw all those strategies.
Do we have those strategies? Did we see them? We said talk about. So maybe they can just send us strategies, or maybe have a workshop on those strategies so that we know what we're talking about. And then the CEDAR technology program, one of the reasons cited there was a delay of info. Why was there a delay of info? Is there a communication problem in the department? And then my last question is a skills for economy. Said that a portion stayed with the DTI. I just want to know how big is this portion that stayed with the DTI. Thank you.
Not a permission.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is about the challenges. And one of them to say there were functions that were transferred to without funds. I need clarity on that. Does it mean that the funds that were used for the very functions that were transferred were withheld and let the functions transfer? And why would that be the reason? And why would those funds be useful if they were in heavy use for the functions that were now transferred to the DG? And the second one is about the youth enterprise development strategy. I see that they have entered into an agreement with the National Rural Youth Service Corps. I want to know whether it is not beneficial to also have an agreement with a YDA, because there should be areas of agreement and where objectives are similar. So why is there no agreement with a NYDA? The last one also on skills of economy. I think about more than 1 million has not been used. Now all the skills are needed, but why would so much money not be used to enhance the skills of those that need the money in order to be more productive and fruitful? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, ACDG, for your presentation. I think a lot of this really comes down to lack of capacity. So my first question is, what is the status of the department's ambitions to find itself a premises, number one? And number two, what is the status of the department's attempts to fill essential positions? The committee has long been wanting an organogram from the department, and if you read the report that we completed last week, you will see that we request that the department submit an organogram to us within a month. And I believe that to be an absolutely helpful thing for you to do, so we can critically examine that organogram and satisfy ourselves that the positions that are being advertised, A, make sense, and B, are being filled with qualified people. Then, going through the presentation page by page, what you're providing us is very sort of surface level material information. I think what I'd like to see is much more detail. So, for example, you're talking about the 48 incubators and the new incubators. I've never ever seen any information about any of these incubators. Where are they? You know, how many people do they employ? How many businesses do they incubate? What sectors are they involved in? You know, what's the success rate? How many businesses are coming in and out of these incubators? I mean, it's frankly important that we understand that information. And I think, Chair, if I may say so, in our next oversight visits, we should try and include some of these incubators And even if it's not in our oversight visit, we should give us the opportunity to interrogate the information about them. The other thing is, I don't quite understand it, where it says see the technology program. You've got two pages, the number of clients assisted and number of jobs created. Is there a one-to-one correlation between these two slides? In other words, please let us understand the correspondence or the correlation between these two slides, these two pages. Number of clients assisted and number of jobs created. So how many of these clients have created how many jobs? That's what I want you to know. You know, if you don't take these two together, that's fairly meaningless. You see, what I'm getting at is we need to understand what programs are working and what are not. We don't want to throw money away. We've already heard that students throwing money away. We can't afford that anymore. Then the next one, the Cooperative Act that amended. It seems to me that the moment the formation of the new department was announced, things within the DGI ground were halted. So why was the Cooperative Amendment Act, not produced? I mean, if the department had been formed, would this have happened? You know, what was holding it up? Where is the director? Where is Mr. Nzuma? Is he still around? Ah, oh, you are, Jeffrey. Sorry, you are. You're steered by the deputy minister. I'm glad to see you. So, you know, what have they been doing? You know, what have you been simply fiddling your fingers while this act has been sort of waiting in the bank? I'd just like to know a bit more about the detail. All these reports. I'd like to see these reports, please. Because, you know, one would assume that these reports weren't just written for the paper they were written on, but they actually have some value. It would be quite useful for us to actually see them. The National Informal Business Outreach Strategy, as far as I recall, you had a relationship with the WNOCTA, but this hasn't been reported on. I'd just like to know what that relationship is, or just get an update on that. Then the Integrated SMEs and Cooperative Development Framework. To me, this should really be overarching policy for the department. I mean, if this is what it says it is, Integrated SMEs and Cooperative Development, this is what the department is all about. So this should actually come top of your list in terms of your reporting. All the other stuff is just implementation, but this is fundamental strategy. Particularly as it results, as it relates to provincial and municipal departments, because after all, they have capacity which is not being properly integrated into the department. So it seems to me that, you know, this should come right up front in terms of your reporting. Okay, now this is very interesting. In the Youth Enterprise Development Strategy, you said that the DSDG board cannot be informed in quarter 3, but then you say in quarter 4 that it was presented on the 19th of February. So what changed, and who's on this board? What does the exco of the department have to comprise? At the end of last year when I met with the minister and some of her officials, an advert got into paper seeking applications for a number of very top positions, and then later in, early in this year, an advert went out with the director general. Now, since then, we've had the moving of one acting DG and then yourself. What is the status of that? When are we going to see the department's top management actually being put in place and the exco being constituted? Okay. These centers for entrepreneurship, I don't quite understand what is the center for entrepreneurship. I know that we've been told about these, but, you know, we've never seen one. I know we were invited to the launch of the one in Western Cape. I couldn't go to it. But I think we need to know what is the curriculum, what's the objective, who have been trained, what. So more detail on that, please. Rory mentioned that the outcomes on the CIS and DBS can be correctly pointed out. We need to see outcomes. And then the other thing I can't quite understand is when, about September last year, when we had our strategic workshop, and then shortly afterwards when we approved the APP, the then acting DG presented the various programs of the department. And yet you're saying now that the activities of the department are still within the DCI's strategic framework. But then why do we see their programs presented in September last year? What happened? Had that sort of all been dumped? Has all the work that happened until you came on board just disappeared? Why are the activities of the department not properly reflected in those frameworks? Then the other thing is CEDA on the budget. The fact that there are no variance between the actual and the expected expenditure of the budget suggests to me that CEDA is just operating under its own steam with no proper oversight. I mean, it's virtually impossible to have no variance between actual and budgeted expenditure. So I'd just like your comments on that, please. That's all I have. Thank you, John.
Honourable Mother, followed by Honourable Ramakas.
Maybe to start with, I would want to comment
on the issues around the presentation outlined today. I think it is the opportunity now for the department to start to recollect from where we have started and so far, so that when you deal with the issues of the challenges, you really talk challenges that you know, because as stated, these are just general challenges which will not assist us very well in dealing with the performance specifically, because these are annual performance things. We need to deal with specifics because there are targets that we have to look at if performance has met and so on. So challenges would assist you a lot if you collect, because at least you were very fortunate in the department from the establishment. The portfolio committee was able to always provide recommendations that were very informative for a new department to build on. The recommendations, it will also assist if, like we are saying now, all the speakers are actually putting forward extra points, recommendations and proposals. Even if you are going to respond to some other things, but it would be wise if you look at what you think is a recommendation that will take you from here to the next point, because that is what you must do as a new department now. Now, I want to speak on national strategic framework on gender and economic empowerment. The annual target, you're saying, should be approved by cabinet and research on research. Now, I would want also to get your understanding around the approval of such a strategy framework, because it entails a number of it takes in fact a number of partnership engagements. You need to go from, we have said in our meetings, departments or almost all departments have got a gender, youth, and so on and so on. Now, if your strategy will actually talk to that, you have to just elaborate to us on how you reach it working smoothly throughout all the other departments, because it will assist so that it's no more a question of waiting for the budget, specific budget that will come to you, but we have said as a committee, other departments have got budgets for that. You've got budgets. For as long as you can work in such a way that activities are benefiting the people or the women, the youth, people with disabilities, we as governments don't mind so much about who actually is giving that service, but we will be satisfied if you see people receiving benefits that are earmarked for them by one government, because it's one government on many strategies and so on. So I just want to understand, to get your understanding on how you think you are going to deal with that, so that you don't again take it out of all things. The strategy will talk to you and you will still come up with challenges and finances. Must be a problem that tell us that this is how we will use functions. The second one is the same on youth enterprise development strategy. All of these things is a problem. I think we have also the successes to propose that finally we will need to have a survey of health entities or other services that were rendered in the other department by other departments, so that whatever model we are going to agree on is informed by our practical experiences, so that they don't reflect what was happening previously if it was not beneficial or it was not the best. So we make it to benefit us to come up with the best of the new department. So you must also be able to say something about that, Now, the last one is as the Honorable Chancellor saying, maybe if you could assist with the next meeting of the performance plans, you actually become more confined when you speak of how transfers are actually affecting service delivery, because sometimes transfers come when a service was delivered after a long time, and then you actually end up not knowing how to make it pass, because you can see now what you are saving us in the story there is not talking to what you are giving us in the asset. And that is the cause, because now we have missed something along the way. Now it's a question of trying to rethink, remind yourself to say, maybe we spend this on this one and this one. So if you can be able to try and put that in the correct contract, so that they are able to talk with each other. It's not a matter of contradictions. Those were my points.
Honorable Khoza, followed by Rukuga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I start with the budget? Is a notice of overspending in the CIS and VVSDP. I'm interested in knowing what caused the overspending in those two areas. And I'm also interested in the geographical spread of the youth development initiatives. Is it concentrated in all the provinces, or is it in certain provinces? There's somewhere that we're talking about the pilot sites. Can we be able to know the pilot sites where this is located? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sorry, I missed this one point. I was two quarters. I just wanted to find out if there was any work done on red tape reduction in the department. I was just too curious. Thank you.
Thank you. Now give the department an opportunity to respond. I'm sure whether the chief has been covered. If there is, we will have to pay for chief. Can you in the meantime be responding?
Thank you, chief. I'll respond to some issues, and then the colleagues will respond to specific issues that are related to their progress. On the issue, the question from Honorable Chance, where are we as a department? I'd like to indicate that the structure was approved by DBSA on the 30th of April. So we have a structure which is very small, and they told us that we have to live with that. It's a startup structure. We'll go back to them later on, but we can only come to them once we have a budget, because if we come back to them and tell them that we need more people, but we don't have a budget, they are not going to approve it. So they've given us a startup structure, which we have to live with for the next few months. Hopefully we'll be able to get a bigger budget and increase the structure. But I think it also tells us that we need to perform, because it would be critical for us to have a strong business case when we go back to National Treasury, I think, for additional funding to get more posts. And then on the posts, the challenge that we had with those posts that were advertised is that we received a letter from TKFA objecting to us advertising at the time, because they were still looking at reviewing the structure, and we thought we had an agreement at the time, but they said we have to wait for the letter from them so we can start the recruitment process. So though that process was stopped then. So those were the CDG positions, and there were some HR positions. But we've already started advertising rather than advertising of the DG position, because the minister was not happy with the quality of the applications that are there, so she thought it would be better to be open for a very short period. And I think her office will also maybe add on that in terms of the process of how it has gone. And then the other posts which are very critical for us, they can allow us to function, and we advertise them they are closing most of them on the 1st of June, and immediately after that we started the process of ensuring that we fill up those posts. Those posts are related to corporate services, and the posts that are related to internal audits. We also have some posts on auxiliary services around security and all those things. So we hope to have people as soon as possible. We'll try and push, because some people, you know, might be able to even give shorter notice to their employers. We try and push and make sure that the process happens very quickly. So we are moving in terms of filling up those posts, but we also still have some budget concerns, because the budget that we got can only allow us to fill 18 positions, and those positions will be from operational or the administration section, because we need to have a strong HR, strong finance, strong supply chain management, all those functions that are critical for the functioning of the department. We are going to fill them as soon as possible. They are receiving a priority from us. And then I'll require the colleagues to just give detailed answers on some of the specific questions that have been asked, and then we'll come back when if there are gaps that have been identified.
Thank you to this chief, thank you Chairperson, and thank you to the members of the portfolio committee and the honorable members. I will also deal with the issues pertaining to cooperatives, starting with the issue of the agency, the cooperative advisory, the advisory, the cooperative development agency and the tribunal. The target there that we wanted to have was to have a established agency by 2014, as well as the tribunal, and then also to have all the issues of it at least being established, those two institutions done. Now they were hinging on the act to be finalized in terms of proclamation of the law, because those two institutions, their establishment were established through that the 2013 Cooperative Act, which was promulgated by the President in 2013. So we needed to then put them into operation in 2014. The challenge that we had was that when we engaged with National Treasury, it was that before they could even give us any budget for the rollout of those agencies, we need to have the act itself proclaimed through the approval of the regulations. So that particular process got a bit delayed through the issue of the transition, and therefore it then had the adverse impact of us not meeting those particular targets, both to secure the funding with National Treasury and also to make sure that we then start putting in place these two institutions and make sure that at least they're in operation, and then the leaders of that institutions can start then rolling their implementation. But that was the aim that we are saying we need. Now, that aspect then has those particular impacts. That's why that target has not been met on two conservative periods, quarter three and quarter four, and that's what it means, because we need to address the proclamation of the law, And then National Treasury must then proclaim these institutions in their own, in the PFMA. Once then they proclaim them in the PFMA, then they can then give us the budget. We then can roll them out in, and put them into operations. That's where the issues are at the moment. So I think the minister has just announced that we will now proclaim the law and make sure that we undertake that process. Then all these things then will fall into place and make sure that they get to be implemented. And then on the issue of the CIS and the overexpenditure, I think that's the point that was raised there specifically on the CIS part in terms of the budget. The as you could see, the budget there is extending. This is what happened here. The initial budget for CIS, which was given from the initial basis, was 100 million for the cooperative incentive scheme. But what then happened was that at the time when that budget was allocated, it was under CTI. I think there was a question that was asked, particularly the challenges of this inter-movement of funds. What the NBCCI did was to then take a portion of that budget, which was about 30-something, and then allocate it to the BBSTP program, which then meant that now the budget we then left with in terms of the CIS was then 65 million to roll out on the program, which started at 100 million, and then it is now, we then ended up having the 65 million. And then that 65 million, then when you could see that we spent 64.9 million, there was only just the variance of 34 there, which is more like an underspending than the overspending, if you look at it. If you look at it in the transfer area, is the it's 65 million, which is 64 million, is the underspending, which I think in terms of proximity is just very few amounts of money. And then the other one is more, the top one is the goods, it's the goods and services. If you go to the 8.2 and then the 8.6, which is the top one, which deals with the goods and services, that's where now the issue of the negative 335 then comes in. We also include the goods and services and the staff, that one. That's that portion is the top one. Plus the one which is the 65 is strictly for programs, and the top one is the goods and also services, as well as the compensation for the staff. So, in a sense, I think that is, there was a way of expenditure, maybe in terms of increasing the employment or what, but there was some movement on the goods and services or the compensation of employees there, which is impacting on that particular figure. It's just that is the detail of that is something that we can then solicit and then be able to provide clearly actual, in actual terms, what was that item that then bring that in up, because it's on goods and services, and it more or less it's more on the staff aspect, which I think I suspect very likely, because there was a period where the CIS was complaining about staff, and then it could have been that today the staff money was then moved and increased, that one to give them more of the capacity to deliver. Yeah, thank you very much, but we'll give that detail later if it's required in actual terms. Thank you. Those are the two for me.
Thanks, Chairperson. Deputy
Cordon, can we break or see? Thank you.
want to see it. I want to see it. You have an idea.
Thank you. Avec extrême préface à Paris, ça fait que les naïfs. Voilà, la bagarre.
C'est là, la raison aussi.
Est-ce que vous avez un peu de
temps?
Non, Bruno, c'est ça.
Thank you.
No. I'm going to go to the next
Can we proceed with the responses from the partners?
Thank you, Chairperson. Deputy Minister Tavessa, honorable members and my colleagues, Acting DG, I'm going to respond on the issue of the National Strategic Framework for Gender and Women Economic Empowerment. We tend to agree with Honorable Ramaphosa that a framework by its own nature is much more broader because it gives a broader guidelines to the government-wide guiding document, which entails broader and wider consultation with all government departments, with entities, and this is exactly what the economic cluster said when we presented the draft. But however, as a department, we actually would like to agree that we underestimated the processes leading to the framework, because most of our processes were confined by and large within the previous department. But now, going to the economic class, we advise that we need to go back and do a much more wider consultation. But another challenge that we encountered as we were doing the consultation with other departments is that there were concerns raised that it seemed as if we want all other departments to report to us on women economic empowerment. And they actually, it was then during the period of the Department of Women, People with Disabilities and Children. What they said was that that function is already handled by that department, so how do we want ourselves to further impose ourselves upon them so that they should report on us, you know, because if we follow the route of the framework, precisely that is what was interpreted by other departments. The second challenge was that according to what the AG has indicated, that the cluster indicated that we need to go back and do a detailed research on one, the gaps, and why do we think we need a standalone entity for women economic empowerment, because this is what is indicated by the framework. The framework, there's a chapter that is dedicated on establishment. It's actually a recommendation that was informed by some of our studies that we conducted. The status quo studies that the department had conducted had indicated or recommended that we need to, in order for us to be able to go into full empowerment of women, we need a dedicated entity. That was a recommendation which was also included as a chapter in the framework. However, the economic cluster indicated that in order for us to establish another entity, we need to follow the national treasury processes of developing a business case. Developing a business case is a process which the department did not have a dedicated internal capacity to can conduct. It was a process which, after consulting with other departments which had put together business cases, we were advised that that is a process which has to be driven by a dedicated service provider.
the department has actually put aside financial, we had some finances, a budget that was set aside for the research. However, because the research, the business case would, the funding thereof would exceed a threshold which would, you know, in terms of the FNA, necessitated calling for bids and so on. It had to go through the bidding processes of the department. That is another challenge, honorable, that we encountered. We prepared documents, we prepared terms of reference for the business case. We went to the to the adjudication committee, but unfortunately, the proposal was not approved by the adjudication committee, which compounded the delay in finalization of the framework. What we did was that we came back and said, given the fact that it seems to be more challenging to develop and finalize the framework, maybe we should rather look at putting together a strategy for gender and women economic empowerment, which process would be slightly different from that of putting together a framework. Hence, our final recommendation on the quarter four is that as a department we have looked into the option of putting together a strategy, because the strategy would be departmental and would also apply to the entities that are accountable to the department. It would reduce the process of engaging. We will engage other departments, but however, it wouldn't be mandatory of the framework of the document to be, it wouldn't determine the finalization of the document. We, however, agree with the sentiments of the Honorable that it's very critical. We made a mistake by underestimating the processes leading to the framework. However, we feel as a department that we definitely need to have a strategy which will give us, we will chart the process moving forward.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, and the Acting DG. There are a couple of questions that I have to deal with. Starting with the questions that were asked by Honorable Kruger, especially on the strategies, the two strategies that we talked about. If I recall, we presented, especially the national informal sector business upliftment strategy within the whole strategy of the department, but we haven't really presented it as a sole strategy on its own in this committee. It was presented during the DTI era, in the DTI, so we can make a copy available, and if requested, we can be able to come and present a strategy in this committee. So the youth strategy as well. I think that was the case as well. And on the zero information that is reflected as a deviation on the STG program, is that sometimes when applications are sent to the STT, you find that there's certain information that is lacking, and this information is returned back, or the applications are returned back so that we can have further information, and this actually provides an impact, is impacting negatively on the performance on that particular quarter, because there's quite a delay in terms of the submission of relevant documentation for that application to be considered properly. So that is the case there. The rate reduction is not part of the annual performance plan, this particular annual performance plan, but is part of the current annual performance plan that kicked in from the 1st of April this year. And however, there's a lot of work that has been that we have done in that area. For instance, out of my head, I know, for instance, that we have rolled out the guideline to about 102 municipalities already. So there's work that is happening that is not encapsulated in this particular APP. is basically in the human plane. And then let me just see what information on the incubators. Well, we didn't really provide detailed information on the incubators, their performance, those that are existing, those that are actually performing quite well, because we left that work to see that, but we know that we have 48 incubators that are operational. And we thought, because CEDA normally presents its performance plan to this committee, they can actually provide those details. What we are doing, and I think it also touches to the question that was asked by Honorable Sams, what we are doing is simply presenting the figures in terms of the targets, which are the jobs produced by these incubators. And that's what he did. And in gravitating towards the question that was asked by Honorable Sharif, that the incubation program in terms of this particular APP is divided in three areas. One is the area of jobs produced by these entities, and the secondly is the support to these incubators, that goes to these incubators, which include also putting new incubators, the six that we have actually planned to put in place for this particular financial year. But the third component deals with the what we call technology transfer fund, where, for instance, if you exit the incubator, you need a particular technologies and machinery, we're able to provide that through that technology fund. For instance, if I may allude to a particular example, you find that somebody is actually within the FinTech incubator, and when they exit the FinTech incubator, they need machinery to operate on their own. And this particular instrument is actually created for it. So, it has just overall answer to this is that there's interlinkage between what we call page one that talks about the support to the incubator, the additional incubators, and the technology transfer fund. There is that linkage that is existing. In terms of the CEDA, the variance on the CEDA, the variance, we don't have a variance as a department in terms of the particular fund to CEDA, because the transfer payments that we're supposed to do actually went through, all of them, from the department as well. But if you look at the CEDA performance needs all, it's got variance in terms of their programs, for instance. I know for sure, for instance, they have, for instance, the surplus of about 46 million, which is about 6.9 tolerance levels within the performance of our 5% in terms of the group PSA. So we know that the variances, but they can actually present that report when they are presenting on their own within the CEDA program. But in terms of what we're presenting here, the transfer payments went through without any variance.
Okay. What you are speaking to is that the department is manuscripted. That is what you are telling us. And then you sit back because see that we come here and report on it. Yet CEDA is actually an entity of the department, which means in terms of expenditure, you would then not say it is an expenditure, it is just a transfer. So that's what you are saying.
Thank you, sir. I'm not saying that at all. I think we have reported on the CEDA performance in terms of, for instance, the CEDA technology program, in terms of its performance, in terms of also the transfer of funding, how those funds were utilized. We have actually by CEDA. So we have actually, and we're monitoring the performance of CEDA, and we have mechanism to do that. We sit in the board of CEDA, but also before we even transfer the funds, we also look at the performance of the institution itself. So we receive the reports for CEDA. Hence, the figures of the money that they've actually put in funding component of this report
comes from the report that we get in Kashmir. So we do that. Aside from the names at the top of my head, I know that they've underspent with 46 million. And I know how that translates because we actually try to monitor it. So we do that.
Now, let us look at this report. Does this report reflect that understanding, you see?
So it doesn't. It reflects the spending in terms of the actual program that is in the ATP, which is CEDA technology program. But it doesn't really give you a global picture of the CEDA program as a whole. It doesn't.
That is the point I'm driving to. That is the point that I'm driving to. That CEDA is an entity. Okay. If you are reporting on CEDA technology, you should also be able to report on all other things that are done by CEDA. Because if you are only reporting on what was transferred from the department to CEDA, and you are then not reporting on how CEDA utilized that money, we are not getting a complete picture. CEDA, in terms of your reporting here of what went to CEDA, we could be getting hands and saying, you spend according to what we have budgeted for. But in actual terms, it would be a different situation. It could be that, yes, CEDA was given this money, but CEDA has either overspent on what was given to CEDA or underspent on what was given to CEDA, which then does not then give a complete picture of the value for money. Because with us, it's not just how much was given to you and how much you gave to CEDA. That's not what we are looking at. We are looking at what did you ask for in terms of all your programs, including CEDA? And what is the value to CEDA? And what was the value for that which went to CEDA? Firstly, did CEDA spend that money according to the budget? And if CEDA did spend that money according to the budget, then let us see the results. What are the results of what was spent? And we cannot then, sitting here, just look at what was transferred to CEDA. We have to look at what was transferred to CEDA, and what was utilized by CEDA, and what was achieved out of that.
So point taken. I think we'll look at that. We'll definitely, I think in the next report, we'll actually include that component, the entire CEDA performance in terms of the transfer. We will definitely look at that. I think those were the few questions The Center for Entrepreneurship Chair are basically, we're working with the Department of Higher Education, where we establish the Centers for Entrepreneurship, and where we train not only the students in those colleges, what we call TVET colleges, but we're also looking at the businesses around the community where those colleges are existing, or where we have partnered with those colleges, and provide a particular needed training to those businesses that are around there. And we have launched two of these in March, which is additional for two that we had previously. And I think there was a question in terms of why we have above 1 million expenditure that was raised by Honorable Musa, I think, if I remember. It's because
by the mere fact that we launched in March, which was a bit of delay in terms of the time lag for us to allow to spend on the extra programs that will actually come out of those colleges. Because what you do in those colleges, once you have learned the college, they actually prepare the training manuals and also the programs in terms of what is it that is going to do, they're going to do in terms of training these students, and what is the curriculum that is going to go around entrepreneurship, which then by the time we launch these, this money was never spent. That's why we still have this sort of a surplus or an under expenditure.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we omitted to respond on the questions regarding the youth enterprise development. There was a question around the selection.
Before you go to that, I thought that we were adding on I have a follow-up question on that. On the Center for Entrepreneurship, you are then saying it's a partnership between the Department of Small Business Development and the Department of Higher Education, which is then implemented through the system. Okay. And then you are saying the training relates to job opportunities that are in the area. Could you unpack that?
So if I may unpack that, I don't have really the specifics with me, but the scenario is this. When we look at the TVET College, we look at the competitive advantage of that area. For instance, if the area is the area that is dealing with sort of a particular manufacturing, for instance, this is a clothing textile, like the one that we had in Butterworth. So we look at the communities around that area and that are actually manufacturing and see what particular training, because we do some diagnosis. This is what the college does. Do some diagnosis in terms of what are needed skills within those particular enterprises that are existing within those communities and provide the needed training accordingly. So it differs from college to college, because we look at this college is actually situated in this area. What are the businesses, or what is competitive advantage in this area that we can enhance in terms of providing that particular training?
So the training is informed by the market that is used. Okay. And then can you answer then the market in relation to the public sector market and the private sector market? What is it that you prioritize? A public sector market and a private sector market.
So we look at both, because if for instance we have a particular manufacturing sort of a chain within that particular area where the college is existing, obviously you need a market, and the market will not only emanate from the public sector, but also emanate from the private sector. That's why I'm alluding to the competitive advantage, because competitive advantage is what it means, that those businesses can thrive because of a particular sector in that locality. Of course, that particular sector includes the market opportunities as well, because it's one thing to actually manufacture, but it's another to say, once you have manufactured those goods, what is the market that is existing? So it's a whole package within the manual of training that says, it's not training per se for the sake of training. It's a training because it actually enables these enterprises to begin to actually take advantage of the existing opportunities. And these may be in both public and private sector.
Let us look at this. Here is a student in Harding, where I was born. And then in this community, there is a high rate of unemployment, and the youth that the unemployed, is the youth that drop out of school. In terms of specific South Africa reports. Okay. But in this community also, there are roads, gravel roads, that make public facilities inaccessible in all weather conditions. And back in your mind, you know that government has committed that we will develop SMEs and cooperatives through infrastructure spending. And you know that if there are schools and clinics that are inaccessible in all weather conditions, those gravel roads require upgrading. And the youth that is hanging around should be, with no skills, is the good target market for providing it with those skills, because it is in the interest of government to develop SMEs and cooperatives. Also, it is in the interest of government to upgrade those roads to make public facilities accessible. It is also in the interest of government to provide skills. Now, once you are training those young people on how to upgrade a gravel road, either into a paved road or into a blacktop road, you are actually upgrading. And that is what the Minister of Finance is saying. Use money creatively. So when you do that type of training, you are killing three birds with one stone. You are providing the skill to the youth that are not skilled. You are also upgrading. You are providing a service because those people are undergoing training on job. And when they finish training, you will not undo that road. That road will be upgraded. But thirdly, you are also providing them with employment. So you are killing three people with one stone. By the time they finish the training, even if it takes a year, you will be knowing, because you will be working with the CIGB to say, if they have acquired these skills now, what level are they at? When you have prepared them to enter the market through the training. That is why I'm so particular about understanding what is this training with the children and how does it relate to job creation and unemployment as a result of the lack of skills, and how does it relate to poverty reduction and all other social things, because hanging around the children is actually going to result in a person who is addicted to drugs. So it can just be training to then think that there will be a market, maybe a market that is not even committed to actually absorb those people. And the training, the money that is spent on training, that does not have an impact on service delivery. You are still outsourcing service delivery to well-established companies to update the rules. Once you are having people, your mandate is to develop SMEs and cooperatives. Develop. Which means you take a person from nowhere and you challenge that person. You show that person that here is an opportunity. That is what development is about. So I want to follow this thing over Center of Entrepreneurship, because we can't be looking at above the at eye level and not looking down where the real problem is. Okay. You want to respond to that?
I don't want to respond. I think we're taking those points. I think they're very relevant. We're going to be looking at this holistically in terms of what we are going to we're taking those boxes. We really take those boxes.
The advantage of that, you would have also went to the construction system and got additional funding. You would have also teamed up
with the Department of Transit because they have the standards on. You would also have related them to the back-to-basis documents. And you then develop those because in terms of what is it that you are trying to do at a community level in terms of upgrading and developing the community. Honorable Kruger.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Yeah, I think we need a strategy for skill development into the part of the now we don't spend the money on. But the question was that skills for economy, how much of that money stayed behind the DTI? Because that's what the acting DG told us. He said it's not all the money came over to this department or to this ministry. There's some of them that stay over at DTI. I want to know how big is this portion that stay behind? Is it 25%, 50%, is it 95%? Because if we are, I mean, our department say small business development. So if a big portion stay behind in DTI, then it would be a problem. So I would like to know exactly what portion stayed with DTI.
That question also relates to the question that there are functions that were transferred without funds. If you can combine your response to those two.
I will respond on skills, because this is what I know, that we have actually agreed with the DTR that given the fact that we're transferring the capacity that deals with centers for entrepreneurship, we're going to actually get the half of the budget that was within the skills component of the economy. So we have gotten that half of the budget that is reflected in the budget here that we presented, which is 9.7, which is actually half of what we got.
Because the question is now, what is DTI going to do that of? If it was money specifically targeted to develop small businesses, what are they going to do with that of? And if they have another program also developing small businesses, I mean, then there's the same problem as my colleague over here. I mean, then we duplicate programs and it's just a costly exercise. I'd like to know what they're going to do with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for having members. The skills for the economy, I think one of the other functions that we are also doing is mobilizing skills for the IPAP program. So they are continuing with that work within DTI. The other programs that Honorable Kruger asked about that were transferred without funding, one of them is export development. They just transferred people, warm bodies. And the other one is on the program, the NIBAS program, the DTI had allocated a certain portion from the critical infrastructure grant. They had allocated a certain amount of money for us to start a program. But when they found, or when the funds were transferred, they decided to withdraw that money and continue and reallocate it back to the critical infrastructure program. And then the other one is research. I think they transferred an individual without any resources. So those are some of the functions that were given to us without a budget.
When you say only the war forces were transferred, the war forces were transferred with the budget for admin, salaries level, and then no budget for the program that person has to. So but we could never in that.
That is.
And what has happened? Washing, like I am washing papers.
No, Chair, what we are trying to do with them, we've reallocated some of them to other functions, and in fact we are conducting an exercise because it's not that easy, it's just too difficult to move them from one function to another. What we are saying to them is that these are the priorities of the department, and we need to move you to another function that you're going to be more effective. And there are people that are going to be moving from, for example, from GDSDC to functions like informal businesses, youth, because we believe that, those are very critical in terms of driving our programs as Department of Small Business Development. So we are working on that in moving some of them to the very critical functions that they must be active in.
For me, there is another crucial question that you have not responded. The question of 60% achievement of the target and 90% expenditure. I'm looking at a situation where if you have completed 100% of the target, it would then mean that you would have overspent. The question that I'm struggling with is, how is it possible that you achieve only 60% of the target, but you expend 90% of the budget? Where did this money go to? Because what it was supposed to achieve has not been achieved, but it has been expended.
So, most of the money that was spent, the majority of it is the transfer payments. I think that's why, that's what is informing the 98% to 60%. So I think it goes back to this question that you just raised about us not going to be choosing into these transfer payments, presenting a program in terms of showing actual delivery in the programs. So it's something I think that we need to fix for the first quarter part of the new financial year.
Honorable, followed by Honorable Charles.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the honorable members, the leadership of the department, the minister. I'm sorry, Chairperson, but I'm still questioning the issue of the transfer of staff to other departments. They were transferred to that budget. My concern is, if you transfer someone or you take someone to another class, to another component, but you haven't done skills assessment, how sure are you that that person will perform best in that particular component? You also learn the change that maybe see that was the first step. When the DG or the department do the skills analysis for those individuals or skills audit, and then they are able to find out where the individual can be best transferred to. But just to transfer them because there is a crisis of no budget and think it will be useful is a critical component. I don't think it's correct. I think skills audit and assessment is should be prerequisite before you take them to this component. That's my view, sir.
Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Getting back to the 60%, we haven't really had proper unpacking of that 60%. How do you come to that figure of 60%? And does it include performance within CEDA itself or its targets? Because as we've seen, CEDA represents by far the bulk of the expenditure by this department. I'd like to have that 60% unpacked. Just a few questions which remain unanswered, which go back to the question I put about the program budgets or programs that the then acting DG presented last year to us. And why is it that the the documents presented to us today are not couched in those terms. Have those been disposed of, or what's happened to those? Also, there was no mention of the WNRC project. Thank you.
Let me answer all the other questions that were not covered by the colleagues. Maybe just going back to Mam Novena, she asked about when are we going to start with our own as we are no longer part of the DCI. We started officially this financial year because this report is also the same report that goes to the DCI financial annual report, because these are the programs that were forming part of the APT of the DCI. So we had to finish that because the budget, as the members might know, was still with the Department of Trade and Industry. So the program, we finally, I don't want to say stopped, but our own programs are starting in this new financial. So when we report at the end of this first quarter, we'll be reporting on our own program aligning with our strategic objectives as Department of Small Business Development. And then on the issue of the Youth Enterprise Development Strategy being brought up by Honorable Musa, that we were talking about the program network, NASFEC, program with Department of Development. On that question, the function of youth development in general, it used to be led by NYDA, but now NYDA has been moved to the presidency. So it's being coordinated at that level. We were able, in terms of making some contribution towards the national youth policy. One of the programs that we have is on the national youth policy. So the NYDA is part of the interdepartmental arrangement or structure to coordinate youth development program. I think the government was trying to make sure that all government departments have something to do with youth enterprise development. They have one place, or they are all properly coordinated, because they don't want each and every department coming up with different strategies. But the arrangement or the MOU with Department of Rural Development has not been signed yet, because we're waiting for the approval first. So it's not there yet. That's how we reported on the report that we have. And then coming to one of the times, I think he raised some concerns about the information that is provided on the report, that we don't have enough details. I think it's true, it's very high level, but I think it will help us to know the detailed information per program going forward. I think this is something that we are going to fix when we start approaching in terms of our program as Department of Small Business Development. So we are going to have a different report. These colleagues are here, they're noting this request that we need to provide more information in terms of our programs. So our report is going to be different from this financial year going forward. And then, again, I think Honorable Chan asked about the reports that we are talking about. Yes, the reports can be made available that we are talking about here, about integrated economy and cooperative summit. We can make those copies available and for Honorable Chan. Then, WNRC, yes, on the ICHAP program, which is one of the programs that we are reporting here, that's the program that we are doing together with WNRC, which is a program that we've already started piloting in KwaZulu-Natal. We have started with a training. So it's that program, ICHAP, which we said is sitting in the steering committee with the WNRC. So it's one of the programs that are under NIPU's strategy. And then on the integrated cooperatives and SMEs framework, Yes, it is a very critical instrument. I think we'll even elevate it even in terms of reporting, because it's very critical, especially in coordination with the provinces as well as the Department of Economic Development. They also sit in the technical committee. Then, look of the outcomes on the CPSDP and CIS is a point that we've noted. We are going to change the way we report going forward, because it's very critical that we don't just talk about numbers, but we talk about the impact. I think the CPSDP that we've had and we are fully converted will report in terms of the impact and not just the provided numbers. Then the other question was about the DTI programs that are in the strategy, even though the strategy was presented in September already. I think that question relates to the answer that I provided before, that the AMA reports that we are present, or the programs that we are presenting today, they were on the EPP, and we had the responsibility of also reporting on them according to the way they were formulated. When we have been part of the DTI, the same information is going to the Department of Trade and Industries annual report. But from this financial year, that's when we are having our own report. We are reporting to our own portfolio committee. So this is the time that we are going to start reporting going forward, aligning it to the strategic objectives, to the programs that we are driving as Department of Small Business Development. And then on how do we unpack the 60% achievement, here on the members, we look at the programs that we are implementing, and I think some of the programs that did not achieve, especially the cooperatives, amended, and then the gender, those are the two key programs that we did not respond, we did not achieve. And out of those programs, we did some our own calculations and thought, you know, at least 60%, because it's the way also of the importance of these programs. So that's how we got to the 60%. But we understand that we did not look deeper into the figure transfers. We did not look at the impact of those programs, like the honorable chairperson has what. That we need to, this report is not enough, because we are just talking about mere transfers, we're not talking about the programs that are being implemented. Even the FTP program, we are only talking about numbers, we are not talking about what those programs achieved in terms of jobs that they created. So maybe the number that we need to revise after interrogating it further as a department. And then on the other question, I think I've answered the question on the function that was transferred without funds that was asked by Honorable Mabasa. Those are functions that I mentioned, which is informal business, the export, and then research. And then the question was about the 40% that has not been met. What is the plan going forward to take care of this? It's critical for us to also be honest, I think, as a department in terms of addressing these issues. I think the way we monitor performance is going to be different in the Department of Small Business Development. We are looking at the issue of even having these regular meetings, which are just focusing, because sometimes in government we sit in meetings, we discuss every other thing except, you know, the project that we are doing. So we've structured our EXCO. EXCO is a structure that has directors, chief directors, and a DDG, because we have one for now, which looks at the administrative issues as well as the projects that we are doing. So we change, we restructure this executive committee to look at having these more regularly, because that's where the problem lies, on the issue of not identifying the problems early and taking them there and then, and waiting until the end of the quarter. So that's one of the key things that we are pushing in terms of ensuring that we have these regular meetings, performance management meetings, where we look at the programs, the performance, you know, against the targets, and ensuring that people are able to meet their targets. Also, the way we structured the performance agreements, as well as the business plans for individual business units, and everything that is on the business plan is on the performance agreement of the chief director, because you know, we need to make sure that someone is held responsible whatever they commit to deliver on as a business end of the unit. And so those are just some of the answers to the questions that they asked. If I've omitted some, members of the office.
Yes, thank you very much. There are three questions that were asked by Honorable Chance that I would want to make everyone up to just get the specific answers. One relates to when are we going to see the top management of the department positions being filled up. Today we are receiving this this total report. But what is supposed to have happened that day? We're supposed to be addressed by the DG of the department, not an acting DG. But also next to the DG of the department, we are expecting to have a CFO.
Mm-hmm.
But today we did not have that. We are still having an acting DG, and the department is 1 year old. That then means that filling up two crucial departments, positions in the department that are actually very crucial for driving all these things that we are talking about, the strategic plan, setting up systems, has not happened for the whole year. The question then is, when can we expect to see a permanent DG and the CFO in the department? But another crucial position in the department is the operations. Because all the things that are happening in this department are actually centered around the operations. The fourth crucial position in any department is human resource. Because with human resource, you are then able to have right people in right positions. But we are also able to develop a career path for the people that to absorb, like in the position functions where transferred with one body. And then the department is at a transitional phase to actually relate to its mandate, which is not necessarily how things were done in DTI where the functions were under a program. It's a full-fledged department. Which would then mean that there would be a need for a skills audit, even on people that were absorbed, who migrated with the function, and then we develop a career path program within the department to say, let this person is holding this position, is expected to have all these duties, but the skills level do not match. And therefore, the skills development program that we are going to have in the department, which relates to career pathing, is this.
And without the human resources, we will not be able to do that. And then you will find a situation where you would not have a change management strategy in relation to matching the mandate of the department, the functions of individuals with correct skills. And we'll then begin to see an exodus. Because people will feel pressure because they don't have the necessary skills and they are demanded to perform certain duties. And you have inherited them. It's not the ambition that they find themselves there. They've been transferred to you. And you then have the responsibility of ensuring that they are staying with you. It's as comfortable as possible because you are creating a conducive environment for them to develop the skills that are required for them to execute the duties and responsibilities that they are tasked with. Even with us, when we come here to Parliament, we come as elected members through a process that those that elect us, members of branches, don't even know in some situations what kind of skill is required. Once you get a Ruthven who will perform when she arrives in Parliament. And then Ruthven who arrives in Parliament is given a responsibility of being the chair of a portfolio committee, whether she has chaired the portfolio committee before, that is not the issue. But then Parliament provides Ruthven with an opportunity of understanding what her responsibilities are and of acquiring the necessary skills. It's Parliament that can get to me to actually enable me to be able to perform what is expected of me to do. And that's what happens when you are actually absorbing stuff from another, personnel from another department. It's people that did not apply to come to the department. They are finding themselves there because they were under a particular program which was operating in a particular manner, and now they find themselves here and they are expected to perform in a particular manner. Without the human resource, you will not be able to manage that change management. That situation of ensuring that they remain here, their shortcomings are acknowledged, but they are then assisted to cope with the situation. If that doesn't happen, you will find a lot of exodus. It even happens with the people of Israel. When on the way between Egypt and Canaan, there was a time where they could not cope, and they, some of them felt that Egypt was better. And that is the change management that we are talking about to say. You also need to manage that, and as a result of that, you then need to speedily have the human resource person who is going to be able to identify those challenges and put systems in place to deal with that. Because what actually happens when a department is in a transition phase is resistance and adaptation. And key to that is the person who is a human resource person, but also with change management skills. Not just a human resource person. Who is going to be able to see that this person has got its potential. But this is what this person actually needs. Sit that person down and then work with that person to actually, one, identify where this person can best perform in terms of the skills that this person has right now. And then the potential where this person is likely to perform better. That will prevent resistance and also negative produce. People may say they could be mekana. So they could be that activity because what you have said to us was that there is personnel that is going back to DTI. Why would they go back to DTI? It's lack of human resource management person who is going to be able to deal with that and address those issues. Sometimes for the analysis, even when they go back to DTI, they are going to be asked, oh, you are bad. It should be in the cabin. And that will actually demoralize them. So it is a very, very difficult situation to take people from another department and put them in another department and then not put in place systems that are going to make those people adapt and adapt. It's very, very important, and I'm sure GM will be able to discuss that at a ministerial level because it actually requires that your intervention together with the minister on how you are going to deal with that. It is a very, very crucial issue in terms of making the department move forward, but also of ensuring that the personnel that you have absorbed is looked after. A car that is not serviced cannot move forward. And servicing people relate to, one, ensuring that they are emotionally well looked after. Two, the environment that they are working in terms of skills and what is expected of them to do is actually made also to be conducive. Three, they are taken through capacity building processes to actually enable them to perform according to what is required of them to do. It's not going to happen automatically. The second issue raised by Honorable Chan is the incubators. There are two issues related to questions asked by Honorable Chan. The first question is, he says, I've not seen the report on incubators. I don't know which sector they are focusing on. And my addition to that question would be, why don't sectors? Yes, we have incubators. What sector are they focusing on and why those particular sectors? That is the first aspect of it. The second aspect of the question is, what have been the impact? Are incubators yielding the expected result? In incubator, I mean, if I use on a hen, like a hen, if the hen has laid eggs, but the hen cannot hatch the eggs to have more chicken, then you are only feeding the hen. You are not getting chicken. And we need to be clear as to the other incubators playing a role of being a hen that lays the egg and hatches the egg in order to have more chicken. That is the question that I want to have the answer. Then the last one is the Honorable Chan is talking about integrated SMMEs and cooperative development framework. To us, that is the overarching, because the department is the department of small SMMEs and cooperative development. Which then means the first thing that we would need to see as an overall strategy is how you are going to develop SMMEs and cooperatives in an integrated manner.
And below that, you will then have one, the SMME's development strategy and the cooperative development strategy. Third, we have an overall, an integrated SMMEs and cooperative development strategy. Below that, you would have an SMMEs development strategy and cooperative development strategy. Those are key units for the department. But then you would then go and say, what are the issues that have been identified by both SMMEs and cooperatives as issues that we need to respond to? There's first access to the market. Then you will check an access market strategy. That is another thing that they have said is a problem. It's access to finance. And then you will have access to finance strategy. What is another thing that they have said is a challenge? It's infrastructure. Then you will have an infrastructure development strategy to support them. And what is it that I have said in this problem? It's a red chain. Then you will set a strategy around it. Right around the issues that these people have set up the problem. That is what would inform everything else. Then programs would be sticking to those things. Of course, you are sticking to the mandate of the department. It's a strategy, an integrated development strategy on SMMEs and cooperatives. Below that, you have the strategy for SMMEs and the strategy for cooperatives. Below that, you are then beginning to talk to the challenges. But these people are saying, are the problem. And out of that, those strategies then will have programs. Then the programs are aligned to the strategies. You would not have a strategy that does not talk to the best needs to what these people have said. So, we hope this is the last time we see a report that doesn't speak. Because now we are starting a new way of reporting as we have said this year. The new way of reporting is going to first speak to the mandate of the department. And then the strategic plans, all the strategic plans are going to be talking to what the mandate of the department is. And then other strategic plans are going to be talking to the strategic objectives, are going to be talking to issues that have been raised and which are felt need by the constituents. But that's in your mind, you should also be saying, the Minister of Finance has said no additional funding. What has to come from here is that you are able to work in a coordinated fashion so that you are able to utilize the resources that are sitting in other spheres of government and also in other departments. That is what is called integrated and coordinated approach. I don't know whether you want to respond to this, DG, acting DG, and also Deputy Minister, so that we can close this meeting.
No. I think in the issue of reporting in overall, definitely it's going to be different the way we present in terms of depth and the issues that we have. And then on the filling in official positions, at least the CFO, it was advertised, honorable members, and it was closed, the application process. We have a list, and we need to finalize the issue of shortlisting and interviewing the candidates. And then on the post operations, the closing date is on the 1st of June. So operations and HR, those positions are closing on the 1st of June, which is next week, Monday. And we want to push and make sure that we finalize the recruitment process as soon as possible because we know the need of having this crucial position occupied by people are correctly skilled. Thank you.
much, Chairperson. Air conditioner is just working on me. That's fine. I think largely the issues raised by the committee with health and research and the department has already taken that back and then tried to rework better and make sure that at the next quarter all those issues are being accommodated. The question of filling post is still a work in progress, as the DG said, but the company block was the public service, because they were saying that we shouldn't have, as the DG said, advertised before the actual agreed on the structure that we believe it's about structure. That is not going to give us some of the things that the members said here today. Because it's just a skeleton structure, like that is mini structure. That is just going to be, they call it, it is a star structure. And upon that, then you are able then to go back to them, they can relook at the issue, but it's not within what we want to see as the department. And that is not going to accommodate a lot of what then the members said here today. But we'll see then with the link of how then we take the issue forward with the CGG. So in brief, it's a work in progress, but not a very easy one, based on what then we are given as budget and what then we must implement in terms of the public service, that as such. And going forward then, we'll have to look at the overall issue. But the issue that they generate in terms of the officer that is transferred without budget, that's also part of the issue that relates to the migration, that the Department of the Industry is still holding on some of the functions of small businesses. It is with them, but that's a typical example that GD has raised. So it means that we still have to engage with them and see how best we deal with the issues. But if then we will reach a point where we've got a deadlock, maybe. I'm not sure whether the president can come in. So, the treasurer is that you have to work, do more with less. But slowly speaking, with 3.5 billion over 3 years and it's a period for a new department. I mean, clearly, using the words from Mr. Charles, is clearly straddling this baby on back. That's what he said. How do you move? I mean, starting this department with lots of expectations and others, then they're giving 3.5 billion. The adjustments, we're not sure when I will be able to get some of the money. It is not given that they will look at the issues and that give you the money. It depends on what then becomes a priority in terms of the land and point program that the president outlines within the state of the national press. But surely I'm looking at the potential question, and it is one of those nine. With what then we have, it's not just an outright thing that we can. We'll be trying to get some of the answers, unfortunately, because we have tried, but then not having gone through what we can see. Including the amendments to the cooperatives, as you mentioned here before, the amendments agreed upon during the Department of Trade Industry. Different amendments not alike, as the chair said, first use of some of the things that will be small business, not designer. There was also some PD begging type, which I thought maybe the chief director would talk about. There was discussion on will be PD begging on some CEDA and other FED and, you know, other units. That is not the case, and that is holding on. So we can't have a country say that we want to see cooperatives working, but at the same time, when you have to deal with the agency, when you have to deal with the tribunal, when you have to deal with the academy, things are stopped because of the 3.5 billion difference that you spend, billion and whatever for the year. So surely some of the things are the weak, but then going forward with what you have, even if you try your good way of trying to send money, do more with less, some of them are just impossible. That's impossible to pass even to the department. But we'll soldier on and try and see what is it that we can do from that. We hope that we'll be able then, as a move back to the NPDF, then see what is it that can be accommodated within the Centers for Entrepreneurship. That was one of the key issues that upon the new department, then there are lots of things that were not in place. That's why we've only launched the two now. But they're supposed to launch more. So it's ongoing, and we'll be able, I'm sure, to find a way to meet to deal with. But we've listened very carefully what the committee would like to see, which is in line with what the mandate is all about. Thank you very much for all your inputs. We know some of them, and we're hoping that we'll be able to come back with some progress reports in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
I hear all this, and I hear all this challenges or excuses or whatever we call. But we must remember, our people are hungry outside, and we need to make this very urgent case. I mean, we in the second year now of the department, and we still sit with challenges. And it's small challenges and maybe some of the big challenges. But out there, we must remember that our people in South Africa are hungry. And we need to make this a priority so that we sort this out. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, my final comment is that it's now clear to the department what it like, what it feels like to be a startup. Access to finance, access to markets, access to skills, having a red tape. I recite.
No, I think what we can only do is that let the department try just to have systems. I think let more of their weight now concentrate on systems and come to February, we will be able to look in the outcomes. But I think while the system starts having things, governance is moving. It's still fine because we've been able to determine the target. If you come and tell us not achieved, good systems and everything, we have a case. Because the fact of the matter, we need to come up with a case that will talk something to those who are the bad need, not well fixed system. We will still go up and down. And like you said, if the department is ready in asking, keep on asking if there's something that you are not clear of, because we have made recommendations. There are so many, they are very clear. They will guide you to say, this is how we can go into this one. Keep on asking, don't distance yourself from us. Us as the people you are saying, we come from far together, and now we need to work together. Thank you.
The question is that Mr. Kruger and Mr. Chance have just gone out. But to me, it's much more easy if you're not a government party to come and make such excuses. It's not excuses. You have to talk about facts. You have to do, we don't come back. We talk about facts, and it is the reality of the situation. If you're not getting a billion as a department, 1 billion, what do you do? If you're allocated 3.5 billion over 3 year medium term, even if you can have, you know, your dreams and will and all that, it's practical things that you may not achieve. It is based on that, not excuses. So I'm not sorry, and what is it that they're expecting us to do and say, and to be working on the two quarters. So it's not that they like raise things and leave, but we'll get them at the next meeting and explain to them again. Until they understand that, things will work. Like, if you have a billion, then you've got a trillion. A billion and a trillion is not the same. And with 1 billion, you can't do much. That's a fact. Not that you're doing excuses, but I just pointing to say, we can do as much. We can do so and move towards the position, because that's why it's critical for us to have transversal agreements. But we hope you, MTVBS, when you do the adjustment, there might be a lot, some of the issues that are left out of the budget, and then they're going to be looked at. It has been done before. It's not the first thing that is going to happen this time around. Some of them, well, I knew, some of them have been here before, they know those processes. So I don't understand what is the difference about the excuses. So excuses is facts, and it is what we are experiencing. And we try to help people with a relationship. So it is their own stand that the time the good of the committee goes to the budget they come and say, no, no, but we have your fault, then she has to. Can I help you? Thanks. Can I help you?
Yeah.
the spokesperson of the controller committee is the chair. And since they close the remarks of the chair person, that needs to be taken into consideration by the department. And at no time did the chair person of the portfolio committee then effect to that. We take these as challenges, and I have explained in my input how to take out the transitional stage in and what are the things that you need to look at when you are dealing with that situation. That is what you need to focus on. Don't focus on party politics, because you are going to waste your time responding to things that don't even deserve you to respond to. And you will then end up elevating some people to a level of being a governing party when they are actually not. So, the closing remarks, what the department takes back, is what is said by the chairperson as closing remarks. And the closing remarks of the chairperson is, fill up those key positions because they are important for the department to move forward. Number two, understand the challenges of resistance and adaptation in the context of change management and the transition phase that the department is in. Three, in filling up the position of the human resource person, take into consideration that the delay has actually resulted with some people feeling that it's better to go back to DTI. Present that, fill up the position so that you can then begin to deal with that, so as not to have in your department people that are adapting to change and people that are resisting to change, because it will be difficult to manage that. This is what the chairperson is saying. And the chairperson is saying, put up the integrated development strategy for SMMEs and cooperatives. Below that, put the strategic development for SMMEs and strategic development or cooperative. Below that, begin to respond to the felt needs that have been set by both SMMEs and cooperatives. Put a strategy for access to market, access to finance, adequate skills development, infrastructure support, and reduction of red tape. When you have those five strategic objectives, you have been answered all the things that the SMMEs and cooperatives have said. That's what the chairperson is saying. And the mouth of the chairperson is the mouth of the portfolio committee. So don't respond to things that are coming from here and there. They are just remarks sometimes for party politicking that will not take us forward. We've never said in this committee that it is exclusive. We see those as challenges and we can locate them in the context of the transition. And we will always get our support. We are fully behind you to ensure that this baby is not strangled. Thank you. I declare the meeting closed. Thanks, bye.
I'm going to go to the next one. I don't know how to do it.